Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
That's right, it's the Ron Kelly Show. Don't! It's the Ron Kelly. Oh, these lights are like burning me up. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Do not get it twisted. It's 3 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. It's May 9th, 2017. Welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's here on blogtalkradio.com and on the AM/FM Broadcasting Network. All right, we're absolutely packed today. There's so much to talk about. I don't even know if I'm going to get to it all, but I'm going to definitely try. So don't touch that dial, because we got an absolutely packed show for you this afternoon. Okay, still a lot to talk about today. You don't want to miss a moment of the show. All right. A special guest co-host will be calling in just a few minutes. And we got a lot to talk about today, as I said. All right, first of all, check me out on my Facebook page. It's Ron Kelly Show, and on Twitter, it's Ron Kelly Radio. On today's show, we'll talk about the shootings in Texas. There's so much drama going on in Washington. I really don't even want to talk about it, but we're going to talk about that. So much drama going on in Washington, the capital of the United States of America. Well, what must other countries be thinking about us? Also, there was a mass shooting in Chicago over the weekend at a funeral for a gang member. Now, you know, the rival gang is going to show up and give the person a proper send-off. And the result was 2 people dead and 10 wounded. Now, I asked a question on my Facebook page, the Ron Kelly Show. I asked a question. These lights are killing me. I asked a question on the Ron Kelly Show over the weekend. Is the root cause of what's the root cause of black-on-black crime? I asked that question a little over the weekend. Got a lot of responses. I'm going to share with you what most people thought. But first of all, let me introduce you to a guest co-host today. Now, when you hear her voice, right, you're going to know exactly where she's from. So you'll be able to guess with no problem where she's from. So everybody, please help me welcome my guest co-host today, Angel McLaren. Hi, Angel. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Okay, speak up a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Yell a little bit so everybody can hear you.
Okay, I was just saying hello. I'm doing very well today. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. I was just introducing the show, and I was telling everybody about the I got these lights, right? I got the lighting on me, and the light is, like, killing me. It's like 100 degrees in here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I got, you know, because it's dark in, you know, where I'm doing the show from. So, but anyway, so I was introducing the program. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about the ACHA and how many people are not going to have health care. We're going to talk about that. What must other countries must be thinking about us? Also, we will talk about the shootings. And both of those shootings were down in Texas, right?
No.
Bout Springs is in Texas?
Bout Springs is a suburb of Dallas County, actually.
Okay. All right. I wonder if everybody can hear you. Let me see if I can turn the volume up. So hopefully everyone who's listening to the program can hear you. Okay, I just turned you up a little bit. Say something now.
Okay. Again, yes, the shooting happened actually in Bout Springs. Bout Springs is a suburb of Dallas. So it's it is a part of Dallas County. So yes, sir, that's where it happened.
Okay. Now what was the name of the show that you did before, so my audience gets kind of an idea of where you came from?
I've had the Angel McLaren Show. I was a host on the Angel McLaren Show. I also did a show with the Three Grown as Women Show.
Three Grown Ass Women? That was the name of the show?
Three Grown Ass Women. Yes,
three
that was the name of the show.
Women. Well, you know, if there's an archive, I want to check that out. If there's an archive, I want to check that out.
Okay, I'll see if I can get that for you. Yes,
okay,
based out of Dallas, Texas.
you could definitely want to check that out. But I just love that Southern drawl, I guess you can call it. I just love that. All right.
Well, thank you. It's a lot of good things about being Southern, being from the South. I mean, the hospitality, it's so much I can tell you as far as being from the South. It's a lot of good things. It's a lot of bad things, but, of course, it's a lot of good things as well.
Yeah, I visited San Antonio. I just fell in love with San Antonio. Would love to live there one day. The Riverwalk, it was just incredible. And the people were really, really nice. Nice, clean town, San Antonio, Texas. Looking forward to going there someday before I get old enough to retire. But anyway,
that's
all right, there's an election.
Really good
today. Yeah, okay. There's a today, locally speaking, this is a national program, but locally speaking, because I was in that town earlier today, town of Passaic, New Jersey, there's a election going on. It's not the biggest town, maybe 100,000 people, something like that. Mid-sized town, I guess you could call it. Passaic, New Jersey, where three of the last four mayors have gone down for corruption. Only one, who was a woman, the other three were men. The woman, Marge Simler, is the only one that didn't. She served two terms, I believe. She was the only one that didn't go to jail. So three of the last four mayors of that town have gone to jail. So there's an election today to pick out another person. And conspicuously missing was any backers. There was no, I didn't see any county people around, because the last mayor, Alex Blanco, Dr. Alex Blanco, who is going to jail for 2 years for soliciting a $100,000 bribe. Now, this man was a doctor. He was a podiatrist, and he was a mayor. I think he would have had enough money. But and the sentencing judge actually said that he probably would have gave him a break. I mean, he still would have did time, but he probably would have gave him a break if he wasn't the one who solicited the bribes. Because Dr. Blank solicited the bribes. So three of the last four mayors. You know, the state of New Jersey has a dubious distinction of being called the capital of corruption, because there's been so much going on. And, there's so much been going on corruption-wise in New Jersey. New Jersey is well-known for corruption.
Okay.
But anyway, somebody's going to get elected today. I believe it's going to be Hector Laura. Hopefully he can stay out of jail. Okay. So, all right, everybody, we got absolutely packed show for you this afternoon. 3 o'clock is the Ron Kelly Show, Tuesdays on blogtalkradio.com and on the AMFM Broadcasting Network. You know, I'm like, you know, ready to rant today, Angel. I'm ready to rant.
You're ready to rant. Okay. So what is it that you want to rant about? Let's get it all off your chest.
All right. I was listening to some talk radio this morning. You know, I was listening to, trying to find something to listen to. And a lot of these shows are unlistenable. You know, I mean, I just can't. I mean, I'm very critical of my own show. You know, I'm very critical of my show. And when I don't do a good show, it bothers me for a day or two. Then I get over it. But I'm very critical of my own. And I was listening to, you see, I don't listen to the Steve Harvey, ha ha, hoo hoo, you know, I don't really listen to that. I mean, occasionally I do, you know, but I just really don't have anything else to listen. Sometimes I listen to him or some of the more urban type radio shows. Steve
like
Harvey.
Rick Smalley.
What's the morning show down there in Texas?
Dallas.
Because you're near Dallas,
right? Right, I'm in Dallas, Texas, and we do. We have the Ricky Smalley Show, and we have the Steve Harvey Show. We also have, you know, of course, our local show, which is, you know, it's on K104, but I'm with you on that. I don't really listen much to it. Steve Harvey, he's okay. He's not always upfront, you know. Sometimes he just kind of go with the wind, I think, you know, with Steve Harvey. One day he's with us, and then on another day he's with whomever he wants to be with. But, yeah, I definitely understand that. But Ricky Smalley, he's pretty okay. He try to keep it real with us, and that's all we can expect from him.
Well, you know, the Ron Kelly Show.
We need to laugh. So he's a comedian, and he can be very funny. So I can appreciate Ricky Smalley.
Well, I don't have a problem with people wanting to laugh and stuff. You know, I like to laugh every now and then, too. Jokes on us most of the time with a lot of these shows. But, you know, so I was trying to find something to listen to, and I just couldn't find anything. Just totally unlistenable, a lot of these programs. And here we are. We got a perfectly good show, the Ron Kelly Show, that airs here every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. A perfectly good show that deserves to be on network radio, or at least local radio, local terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. And it is frustrating because the way radio, you know, we got no business. This show has no business being on the internet. No business. You know, this show has no business being on the internet. And also, nor should we have to subsidize our existence on the radio. You know, it just shouldn't be. I'm frustrated to no end because there's so many shows on the radio right now who that are just unlistenable. You have a lot of people who, you know, people who are in these positions because of who they knew, not because how talented they are, you know.
Right.
And I got into a conversation with somebody today. My brother and
the internet.
I don't like
the internet. The
internet
has there's a lot of people that listens to the internet, so that's not a bad thing. I mean, a lot of people would rather listen to the internet show than to listen to a local show. So I don't really necessarily think that that's a bad thing, you know, to be on the internet.
Well, no. The internet should be, but the radio show like this radio show shouldn't have to exist only on the internet. You know, and
only
I'm
on
like,
the internet.
You know,
I understand that.
Only on the internet. Like, it should be on a terrestrial station and then on, I'm talking about terrestrial stations that are known, not nondescript terrestrial stations. And, you know, just, a lot of these shows are just unlistenable. And I was listening, I just turned the radio off. I just turned the radio off because I just, you know, it's just so frustrating. Because the show should not be on the internet. The show should not be on internet radio. Unless it should be streaming, but it should be streaming from terrestrial radio, not internet radio, you know. And I shouldn't have to subsidize my existence on the radio.
Well, I hear you, Ron.
You have people who run internet radio stations, and you know, and you try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's hard to believe people when they tell you stuff because you're a customer. You know what I'm saying? You're a customer, and, you know, if you're a customer and if you're a paying customer, I'm not going to tell you you're bad. You know, it's just like, you know, if somebody overweight and not that good looking goes to get a portfolio, and you know that portfolio is going to cost $1,500 and you're a photographer, you're not going to tell that person, well, you're fat and ugly, you know, you're never going to be a model. You're going to take those pictures and take that money. You know what I'm saying? And tell a person that they're beautiful and they're going to be the next Cindy Crawford when you know you're lying. So I'm not saying that for everybody, but it's difficult to trust people, especially when you're paying for your show to be on the air. It's difficult to trust people and believe what they actually, you know. So that's my rant for the day.
That's your rant for the day. Okay. I'm happy you got that off your chest.
Yeah. Let's get to the program. But first of all, this portion of the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by Media Graphics. And these are people that I use. Smart posters, smart banners, video and digital displays. These people do a fantastic job. And you can get in touch with them. You can call them. And they can ship anywhere in the country. You send them, email them what you want. They'll send it to you. Phone number is 973-777-2202. That's 773-777-2202. You can go to the website. It's mediagraphics.net. That's mediagraphics.net. And the email address is media55@aol.com. That's media55@aol.com. If you want to get in touch with them and tell them what you want, they're located at 25 Somerset Place in Clifton, New Jersey. For the people, local folks who listen every Tuesday afternoon to the Ron Kelly Show. Okay, so the ACA was passed last week. The bill to repeal and replace Obamacare narrowly passed the House. Actually, it was about two or three votes by the House representatives, and they all ran in buses over to the Rose Garden to crow with each other, standing behind President Trump about just taking, you know, they went over there and they crowed about taking health care away from 24 million people. So you're in Texas. So what's the skinny down there? What are people saying about the AHCA down in Texas?
Well, I think a lot of people, and it's, I don't think it's just here in Texas, but I think a lot of people are, we all kind of want to know exactly who will this affect and why, and you know, will it affect us negatively or will it affect us positively? Now, if from what I've read, it seems like the prices will go up. So does that mean, to me, that means when the prices go up, as far as if you're not already covered and you have a pre-existing illness, that means that, I mean, and pre-existing illness can be anything from asthma, from my understanding, to, you know, just, you know, cancer. I mean, asthma is not as extreme as cancer, but at the same time, you know, these people need their medicines, and if they're not covered and if they don't have the money, then, I mean, it sounds like they're, you know, basically killing off a lot of people, if you ask me. It would definitely affect the lower income people, you know. That's who it's going to affect. So, I mean, I think everybody is pretty much just kind of waiting and trying to figure out what do we need to do to fight back and to fight for our health coverage, because it's needed, it's necessary. And it's unfair that, you know, that it'll affect the lower income people, people that can't afford to purchase medicine. You know, their prescriptions are going up. And if they can't afford it now, just imagine once this law is in effect, what's going to happen. So, yeah, I think we're all just kind of trying to find out what do we do to fight back at this point. It's unfair.
Well, there's five things. Thank you for that. There's five things. Well, first of all, essential health benefits. Now, when the in Obamacare, there were 10 essential health benefits that health plans are supposed to offer. Now, this was a mandate, a mandatory rather. And they included maternity care and mental health care. And prior to Obamacare, those many of these were excluded from the individual market. So before Obamacare, if you wanted to go and buy health insurance, a lot of these things weren't there. And it's not just those two. It's emergency room care and prenatal care and stuff like that. A lot of those, there were 10 benefits, 10 essential health benefits that were that Obamacare demanded that these companies would offer. And they could disappear, you know. So the concern is that without essential health benefits, coverage for pre-existing conditions becomes meaningless. Now, people, please, on Facebook, stop. People who I see people on Facebook who are listing all the diseases or whatever that are not. Please stop doing that. You know, because people are, I mean, give me a break. People are listing every single, and it's hundreds of them, every single medical condition or pre-existing condition. Because pre-existing, in other words, coverage, if there's no coverage for pre-existing conditions, pre-existing condition can be anything in the world that can happen to you. You know, any communicable or anything, whatever it is that you have now is a pre-existing condition. So, and people are listing, like, please stop. Listing these pre-existing conditions on Facebook.
They're listing these conditions because I think they want to make sure that you understand, you know, exactly what conditions are, you know. Asthma, you wouldn't think that something like asthma would be a question as far as would it be covered, and, you know, would that be something that would be more expensive than a condition that, and I understand
nothing,
that.
I was going to say nothing can be covered, Angel. Anything, if you could have a cold, if that's a, you know, or I mean, whatever you have that's a pre-existing condition, which means it's something that's permanent or something that can't be cured, it's not covered. That could be anything.
That's
anything.
Right. I agree with you on that.
You know, so I don't know why. They're not saying, like, okay, these pre-existing conditions can pass and these can't. It's none. Zero. You know. And then states, see, you can't leave it to the states. You can't leave it to the states, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to leave it to the states. And then the states will decide what you get and what you don't get. So that means that so people will be moving to different states. Whoever has the best health care, people will have to move to that state in order to get, let's say one state accepts pre-existing conditions, one doesn't. Then people will have to move from one state to the other in order to get health coverage, you know, and it doesn't make any sense at all. But we need to take a break, right? Take a break. Angel McLaren is here with me, and we will take a break. We'll come right back with more of this program. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the AMFM Broadcasting Network.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm... I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness does marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
I love golf, and I have some of the greatest golf courses in the world. I own Doral. I own some of the great Turnberry in Scotland would have the British Open, some of the greatest British Opens in the history of golf. I mean, some of the great Jack Nicklaus against Tom Watson. They say the duel in the sun, right, folks? The duel in the sun, the greatest tournament ever played was at Turnberry. The duel in the sun, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson. So I have the greatest stuff. But you know what? And I love golf. But if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I own Doral in Miami. I don't think I'd ever see many of the places that I have. I don't ever think I'd see anything. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave? Who's going to leave?
Well, you're going to leave. We are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on BlogTalkRadio.com and on the AFM Broadcast Network. The biggest fraud perpetrated on the American people. Oh, my God. You know, the great showman P.T. Barnum said there was a sucker born every minute. And in this case, there were 63 million suckers who voted for who is now the president of the United States, President Trump, who sold everybody a bill of goods. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. And you
be
know,
careful,
weird thing
Ron, about, be careful.
Yeah, but the weird thing about it, Angel McLaren joining me. Welcome, Angel, to the program. Here's the thing, right? Now, he lied. He lied to those people. You know, because this tax, you know, if anybody take a look at this tax plan is a joke. Okay, it's welfare for the rich. Now, the rich get a 20% tax break. A 20%, I mean, that's a big, the corporate tax is 35%. So he's cutting it from 35% to 15%. That's more than half. That's like maybe a 55% tax cut for the rich and wealthy. Now, if you're taking money from the budget, right, because that's taking money from the budget, because that's going to be trillions of dollars that the government is not going to get. Where do you think that money is coming from? Where do you think, he wants to raise the defense spending $55 billion, that's what it be, dollars. So where does everybody think that that money is coming from? That money
is
coming
from love.
It's coming from you and me. That's where it's coming from. He didn't say we were getting the tax cut. He's just, you know, he's playing the shell game. You know how they put the P underneath the shell? You got three shells in you, and you shift them around, but there's a hole on the side, and the P goes through the hole into the floor. This is what's going on. I mean, and this tax plan is ludicrous, because if you're going to cut taxes, that means you're going to be short on revenue. That revenue is coming from us, Angel. That revenue is coming from us, you know.
Well, I think this is his way of making America great again. So, I mean, you know, I think.
To make America broke again, if anything. it's just unbelievable how big of suckers that people are. I mean, I can understand you being, you know, disenchanted with government. I'm disenchanted with government, you know. But I'm not going to just vote for any old body. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I can understand people being frustrated with government. I totally get it. Because right now, I don't even want to talk about the government. Because this ridiculous nonsense is going on in Washington with, you know, all this drama that was supposed to happen yesterday with the Sally Yates and Clapper, who used to be the director of national intelligence. All of this talk yesterday about all the drama that was supposed to happen. And it was boring, you know. And so I can't take it. It's really depressing.
It's overwhelming. It's very overwhelming to say the least.
Yeah, it is. So what's the story now? What's the latest? What have you heard about? Because I understand it was another shooting. Let's move on to Jordan Edwards. I understand it was another shooting. And another town, was it Dallas, I believe? There was another shooting where the boy had pulled a BB gun. 15,
oh, no, that happened. That was actually in California. The shooting that was in Ball Springs, which, you know, they're saying Dallas because it is a suburb of Dallas. The shooting that happened there, it was a police shooting. It was one of the police officers shot the child with a shotgun. The kids were in the car and they were going the opposite direction. There was some type of party going on, and the kids were leaving the party. And as they were leaving, the officer felt the need to, I guess, he shot in the car. He shot in the car, and the car was going in the opposite direction. The first time, the officer stated that the kids were coming his direction, which, you know, would have put him, you know, he said that he felt threatened at the time because the kids was coming in his direction. But we found out that that was a lie about the dash cams. The dash cam actually showed the children going in a totally different direction. And the driver was actually Jordan's brother, 16-year-old brother. And, you know, of course, I'm sure that I can just imagine with that happening, those kids didn't know what to do. That was just crazy. Someone overheard the officer stating, these niggas don't know whether to go right or left, and those were the words that he used. And just going back, they found out a lot about this officer supposed to have post-traumatic stress syndrome, and I think that they're going to try to use that as an excuse as to what he did. But it's just crazy, and it's sad. And, I mean, you know, they buried the little boy on Saturday. So now they're, you know, going after the officer. He was arrested, but an arrest, you know, they've arrested plenty of officers with no conviction. And so basically what we're looking for now is a conviction because, you know, it has to stop at some point. You know, I just feel like it has to stop at some point. And it is racially profiling. If he used those words, they also found out that on Easter Sunday there was an accident between the officer and a Hispanic lady. It was just a little bump, you know, a little minor accident, and he pulled his gun out on her. You know, he's a trigger happy cop. So now, you know, it's just sad. It's sad. So hopefully we'll get a conviction. I'm happy that our DA did go ahead and charge the officer with homicide, with murder. With capital murder at that. So we're waiting. It's a waiting game.
You see, it's disturbing you know, and I'm a police supporter. Let me just put that out there. I'm a police supporter, you know, the good ones. Because there are, you know, I personally know some good police officers, some high ranking, some rank and file, and some in the middle. But I personally know some good police officers who do follow the letter of law. So this is not, you know, whatever I say from here on in is not to indict all police officers. I know some very good ones. But,
I'm sure.
Yeah, but there are some, there are some who there are some, oh, my phone is dying. There are some who, we have to go get the charger at the break. There are some who are not right. Now, this gentleman, this officer, now they're saying that he had PTSD. Now, if he had PTSD, if he was diagnosed with that, yeah, I mean, when did the diagnosis come out? Did the diagnosis come out before he came back from serving overseas?
He was in the Army. He was he went and fought in Iraq. When he was diagnosed,
If he was diagnosed with PTSD, he shouldn't have been allowed to go back on force. If he was diagnosed,
point blank. I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah, somebody should.
He was a 6-year. He was a 6-year veteran for the department, and his name is Oliver. The officer's name is Oliver. But he was a 6-year veteran with the department. And, you know, they've had other issues with him that they had to speak with him about. So it's not this isn't the first thing or the first time that they've, you know, had issues with this man. You know, sometimes they just allow things to happen. But, of course, if you have PTSD and it's from being, you know, being in war, I can't see you being able to be around some type. I mean, you know, you want to war every day as a police officer, it seems.
Well, see, but the thing is that, you know, if he did have PTSD, when was it diagnosed?
This was diagnosed before. This was diagnosed before he started working for the police force.
Okay, and see, now, if he was diagnosed with PTSD, he should not have been allowed to be a police officer in the first place, you know. But see, here's the thing, you know, we get all bent out of shape about racism, you know, and America was built on racism, you know. I mean, when the framers, you know, Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and everyone else who was involved, George Washington was involved in the crafting of the Constitution of the United States of America, black folks, we were in there, but we were one-fifth of a man. And in the Constitution, slavery, and for years, for many, many years, slavery was legal. And the United States of America even went to war with each other in the Civil War because one portion of the country wanted to abolish slavery and one portion of the country wanted to keep slavery. So they couldn't decide. They couldn't come to any type of agreement. So they fought over it. And the Civil Rights Act was in 1964, which wasn't that long
1964.
Ago.
It was not that long ago at all.
Yeah, 1964 was the year the Civil Rights Act was signed. So and we're not talking about like the 1800s. We're talking about 50 plus years ago.
That was 10 years before I was born. I mean, you know, and I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand, that this fight, you know, we're still fighting.
Well, see, the thing is that, you know, when it comes to racism, racism is always going to be a part of this country. You know, racism is always going to be a part of America. Forever, racism is going to be a part of this country because you know, America and, you know, and some people who listen to the program are not going to agree with this, but we black folks were not considered people when the Constitution of the United States was crafted. Black people were not considered people. So this country, and I've said this countless times, this country was not built for black people. It wasn't built for us. And everybody gets all bent out of shape. And I understand that folks get bent out of shape when things happen, but the country was not meant for us to live in as free people. It wasn't meant to be. And so they had to come up with amendments You know, when black folks started, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King rose up out of the ashes and began to, talk about social justice. That was when, you know, when the United States began to pass amendments to the Constitution granting black folks rights. Because prior to that, black folks didn't have no rights.
Right.
You know, and we weren't meant to be free people in America. We weren't meant to be. You see, and this is why Dr. Martin Luther King was so dangerous. See, because there are people who are fine with segregation, separation, separatists, and people like that. They're fine with that. But see, because nobody tried to kill Reverend Al Sharpton. Nobody tried to kill Jesse Jackson. And there's a lot of people who have fought for civil rights in this country. And nobody tried to kill him. See, they had to kill Dr. Martin Luther King because he preached inclusion. Everybody. In his famous speech, he said, little white boys and little white girls. And people, they were like, oh, no. No.
He fought for equality.
Because Dr. Martin Luther King preached equality. He preached for black people and white people to be together. And there was a lot of people who were, they were fine with black folks going out here and wanting to be separate from whites and wanting their own state and all of this type of stuff. The powers that be were fine with that. But when Dr. Martin Luther King came along and started preaching for people to be together, they were, oh, no. We can't have that. You know, and that's why Dr. Martin Luther King was killed. But they don't care about any Jesse and Reverend Al and all the other people. They don't care about that because they want, see, Reverend Al Sharpton's message, and I have respect for Reverend Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, but the powers that be, the secret society, whatever it is, wants them to continue to tell us that we can't do A, B, or C.
I think another reason why Dr. Martin Luther King was so powerful and the fact that he was a threat was because he couldn't be bought. Now, in this day and time, a lot of our leaders can be bought, and it's been, you know, it's been proven. So, and that's the sad part because they'll fight for you for so long, and so now it's time for a new set of leaders to come up and come out. Which we do have more, you know, we have more leaders that are coming out. They're trying to fight. But I was just looking on the internet earlier today, and three of those same, it was three protesters. They've been murdered. You know, three known protesters they've been murdered within the last year. You know, so I mean, it's like, okay, so we get out here and we fight, and then our people end up getting killed. And don't get me wrong, I'm not racist, I'm not prejudiced, but I do love my people. And to sit back and see them being harmed, you know, because they're trying to stand up for our rights. Because it's unfortunate, but the truth of the matter is, when you see who's being killed and when you see the police brutality, it's not the little white kids. It's not their mothers that have to worry about these kids. It's our kids that are being killed. The little 15-year-old boy that was killed in Ball Springs, the boy was he was a straight A student. You know, he had a 4.0 GPA. This wasn't a little thug or somebody that hung out in the streets and somebody that, you know, no, he went to a party with his brothers, with two of his brothers, and which he should be allowed to go to a party. They wasn't at the party showing out. They were leaving the party. So, and he was still shot and killed. He was shot. The police officer shot him in the back of the head with a shotgun, with a rifle. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to sit back and watch it. But on the other hand, when we try to fight, either we're going to jail or they're killing us. And it's sad. And I'm sorry. And, again, you know, I get passionate about it because I have a son myself. I have a black son myself, you know. And so, you know, and I've had to stand up to a police officer myself. And I don't fear police officers. And I know that our police officers are not bad. You know, one of the chief is actually a relative of mine. The chief that was here before, the chief that we have now, is a relative of mine. So, no, and I support police officers. I support, you know, doing right. I support following the law. But at the same time, it's unfortunate that at the end of the day that our kids are the ones that are being killed. And we can't fight without or we can't even, they don't even want us to talk back to them. We can't even help hold a conversation without them telling us to shut up, or, you know, it's unfortunate, and it's a lot more bad cops than a lot of people say that, you know, that it is, because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be looking at 2,000 and, you know, over 2,000 murders from a cop, you know, cop killing. We wouldn't look at that. So obviously it's more bad cops than people say that it is.
You know, and there's a lot of things that happen that we don't, you know, that don't get videotaped. But we're going to take a quick break. It's about 20 minutes before the hour. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the AMFM Broadcasting Network.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Saturday, May 10th, the National Association of Letter Carriers and Campbell's team up to stamp out hunger. William Young, National Association of Letter Carriers.
Simply place a bag of non-perishable food items, such as soup, canned meats and fish, pasta or cereal, next to your mailbox. Your letter carrier does the rest, delivering the donations to food banks and hunger relief agencies in your community.
Stamp out hunger, Saturday, May 10th. A public service message from the National Association of Letter Carriers, Campbell's, and this station.
Your bathroom break is over.
Welcome back.
Welcome. Really?
Now I can know what I plan to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show.
And on the web,
theronkellyshow.com.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's 17 minutes before the hour. The phone number here, which I go to the phone lines, I guess we'll do that now, 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. One more time, 646-668-2838. And all you 70,000 or so folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show, according to AMF and Broadcasting Network, you can follow the Ron Kelly Show on Twitter. Just 1% of you. Let's say 1% is what? 700. You can follow the Ron Kelly Show on Twitter. It's Ron Kelly Radio. That's Ron Kelly Radio. You can follow me on Twitter. You can email the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show at gmail.com. The Ron Kelly Show at gmail.com. Or you can log on. If you're on Facebook, you can go to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. 5,000 or so other folks have liked the page so far. Appreciate that. You can go to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page and you can leave a message and you can comment on some of the things I've posted up there on the page, the Ron Kelly Show, on Facebook. Okay, so I asked the question, what is the root cause of black-on-black crime? We got a lot of interesting answers. Here's what some of the people said. Okay. And shout out to everybody, the 1,800 or so people who did respond. I can't say everything everybody said, but, you know, we'll try to get to it. Here's a sister, Kayla Brianna Allman, right? Kayla Brianna Allman is from, I don't know where she's from. she doesn't want anybody to know where she's from. Okay. I can't know where she's from. She's not my friend. But Kayla Brianna Allman, if I can get this together here. Okay. Oh, God, computers. I hate them. She said that black-on-black crime does not exist. All races kill more members of their own race than any other race. That's how it works, because most people most likely kill the people they spend the most time around, and people statistically spend more time around their own race. Black-on-black crime is no different than white-on-white crime, and it's time we stop perpetuating that phase. So what do you think?
I can agree with her on that. I can agree with her, mainly because I was reading back in 2013, they did their statistics, and those statistics showed that 38% of crime black-on-black crime. But then there was 31% statistics that showed there was, it was white-on-white crime. So, I mean, it's only like 7%, difference. So I can definitely agree with her. I think what happens is we get a lot of the media tends to shine the light more on what's going on in the inner cities, in the hoods and the ghettos, So of course and at this point, and that's just my thoughts on it. I think the truth of the matter is, because we do know that we're not black on black. It's not, blacks don't just kill blacks. They kill others too. Just the same with whites. Whites don't just kill whites. They kill others as well. So yeah, I can definitely agree with her on that.
Okay, well, Fred McGriff, shout out to Fred McGriff. Fred McGriff said white media propaganda, and I think that's what you just said. White media's propaganda, the same reason we have white-on-white crime, Chinese-on-Chinese crime, Mexican-on-Mexican crime, dog-on-dog, cat-on-cat, et cetera. That's what Fred McGriff said. Kind of like what you said. Now, because I'm a part of the media, I don't know if I can... I don't know if I can just indict. See, how about we just stop doing it, Well, here was the question. The question was, what's the root cause of black-on-black violence? And I made it like, how we used to do these. We had the multiple-choice questions. That's what it was, multiple-choice question. The root cause of black-on-black violence. A was lack of cultural self-awareness. B was poverty. C was slavery. And D was all the above. Now, I really believe A is a root cause of black-on-black violence, lack of culture or self-awareness. Because, it's gotten to the point now, let's take, for example, what happened in Chicago the other day. Chicago is, totally off the easy, right? And what happened in Chicago the other day where I'm getting a vapor lock here. There was a funeral for a gang member. And now, you can't have funerals for gang members because the other gang is going to show up, and they're going to give the person a proper send-off. So this is why, you can't have – I'm not saying you can't have funerals, but when you have a funeral for a drug – for a gang member, is fairly – reasonable to think that the other gang is going to show up and shoot the place up, which they did, and two more people died, and 10 people were wounded at this funeral. It happened over the weekend. So it's just, let me play this. Some people said, Sam Holland said, the simple answer of lack of respect, simple answer is lack of respect and well-being of each other. It's more of the problem than anything.
My question is, where are they getting all the guns? Where are they getting the guns to, to do this with? I mean, those guns are coming from somewhere. And why isn't the police are, I know that the government was saying at one time that they were going to send, the federal or the feds in to help that city. I don't think that's happened yet. So, we do have to take control of the neighborhood. If you allow the neighborhood to get out of control, if you're sitting back allowing them to shoot up everybody, then, it's just crazy to me because I want to know where are they getting the guns in the first place. And it's a lot of kids that are doing this now. It's not just older. It's like 14, 15, 16-year-olds that are walking around with guns. The drugs that are that's in the area these kids are on these drugs. There's a lot of stuff that actually we can say that this is why these kids are doing what they're doing. like the a lot of fathers are locked up, and that a lot of these fathers are being locked up for. And I'm not saying that it's right or it's wrong, but a lot of fathers, you have dads that are locked up for smoking marijuana, and they're getting 10 and 15 years for having weed on them. But you're taking these kids' fathers, the head of the household, you know, away from these children. So now they only have this single parent. They have that one mother, or they have the mother and the grandmother that are raising them. So we have to think about all of that. It's not just these kids are just out of control for no reason at all. We have to think about the guns that are being put in the inner cities, the drugs that are being put in the inner cities, the fact that the head of household, the fathers, the strongest, they don't have male role models. And then when they look for those male role models, they find those male role models out in the streets. They find family in the gangs, and that's who they become loyal to. So it's a lot that that, you know, has something to do with what's going on in those inner cities. We need more control, and not, something as minor as marijuana, where it's legal in all these other states, but then in this one state it's not legal. So when they give these extreme when they lock these fathers up and give them extreme time, the convictions and the penalties that they're paying sometimes can be very extreme. So I mean, it's a lot that goes along with that.
Well, see, when you see people putting their babies in water, right? You know, you see white folks putting their babies in water, you know, deep water, like little babies, you know. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, my God, they're going to drown the baby, you know. See, I'm not saying you know, teach a baby how to swim, but we spend a lot of time trying to shut the baby up. You know what I'm saying? That's what we
right.
do. Shut up.
Pacify.
Pacify the baby. Shut up. Mm-hmm. Pacify, however you want to put it. And we spend a lot of time pacifying our children. You know, mm-hmm. just be quiet. You know, here, take this, take that. And see, what happens with kids is that their formative years are not when they get 10, 11, 12. Their formative years start at birth. You know,
right.
Because how does a kid know how to cry, how to get things? You know, ever see a baby cry until he gets what he wants? So how does he know how to do that? At that age, that young, how does he know that if I cry, you're going to come and see what I want? So the babies are learning from birth, even though they can't talk, even though they can't walk, they're learning from birth, you know, these habits. So the baby knows, you know, when I want a bottle, I'm going to cry. When I want to get changed, I'm going to cry. Whatever I want, I'm going to cry. You see kids in the supermarket rolling around on the floor. I'm going to let my kid roll around on the floor. But you see kids in the supermarket rolling around on the floor because they know that that's going to get them what they want. And if, for people who shut their kids up and don't, you know, set aside the kids, let the kids know that's wrong. See, you're courting disaster.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not where black and black crime is starting. That's not where it's, black on black crime is starting from. That's not where it's starting from. And I mean, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves. And I'm not sure exactly what part of the neighborhood you grew up in, but you know, to see it with my own eyes, to see so many, I know guys that were locked up for nonviolent crimes for 29 years. You know, they have four children. And so that means that mom, not only is she going to work to take care of four children, but they don't have, you know, their father there. And, I mean, when grandmama is trying to take care, and there is a lot of drugs in the community. So, I mean, it's a lot that actually, you know, come with it. It's not that these kids are spoiled. That's not it at all. I mean,
I'm not saying that they're spoiled. I'm saying that I'm not saying that they're spoiled. I'm saying that we put them in front of the TV. You know, we let them play the video game. Long as they're being quiet, long as they're out the way, you know, long as they're, you know, not getting in the way of what I'm trying to do. You know, we put them in front of the TV. We let them watch the videos. We put them in front of the PS4 and the Xbox and all of this stuff. And we give them the tablets and stuff. Whatever we give, just give them just to get them out the way.
But
you know,
those are not the kids that are killing other. Those are not the kids that are killing people.
No, but what I'm saying is that you know, why do you think that, like, when you see the Jewish people, for example, and the little kids be having, like, the Orthodox Jews, the little kids be having the big hat, you know, the big gangster hat that they all wear. And, you know, and the kids come up as see, this goes back to the culture thing. You know, there's no culture in the black community. We don't have traditions and stuff like that. We can teach our kids to come up, but other ethnic groups do. I was passing by a church the other day in that John Passaic I was talking about, actually, and there was about 50 little girls with white dresses on. I wasn't sure what that was about, but I know it's some kind of cultural thing. But see, black folks don't have a cultural type of, you know, a cultural type of guide that we can pass things down from generation to generation. We don't have that. We just all buck all over the place.
And would that be because we pretty much adopted the European culture?
No, it's because
would that be the reason why? Because, it's either we adopt their culture or we adopt the culture of the Africans.
Well, we adopted, we adopted the American culture, but the American culture was not designed for us. That's why it doesn't work for us. There's several different reasons of why it leads to black-on-black crime. But there's several different reasons why, you know, there's neighborhoods in Dallas you can't walk through. There's several different reasons. I mean, black neighborhoods in Dallas or Chicago, New York City, Newark, which is a couple of miles away from where I am, St. Louis and L.A. and so on and so forth. In these black communities, you as a black person can't go in these communities if they don't know you. So there's a reason for all of that. And we're gonna discuss more of that because the program goes by so fast. There's about 3 minutes left to the show. But yeah, there's a lot of things there's a lot of reasons why these type of things happen. And, you know, we're gonna continue this conversation. We come back on the show next Tuesday, and I'm working behind the scenes. I'm trying to see if I can put the show back on every day. We'll see what happens. It's a lot of work to undertake, and we'll see, you know, how that goes. But
we'll get a chance to talk about Aaron Hernandez as well. You heard that they threw out his conviction
today. They vacated the murder charge. Yeah, you got to die to get off. They vacated the murder charge. So,
I think he did it for that $8.2 million stake for his daughter. You know,
we'll discuss that because I don't know if the Patriots are liable now to pay him the money that he would have gotten had he not gotten the charge. We'll see about that because they weren't talking. But I don't think that, you know, I understand what you're saying about drugs and guns, but just because they're there don't mean we have to touch
it. I agree with that.
I have a licensed weapon to do drugs. So just because they're there don't mean we have to use them. But there's a root cause, and we'll talk about that a little bit more on the next program. So Angel McLaren from Grown Ass Women. That was what it was, Grown Ass Women?
Grown Ass Women. The three grown ass women show.
I would like to hear that show. That sounds really interesting. You know, I might want to have the three grown ass women on this show at some point. We can, and y'all
I think I can make that happen for you.
Yeah. Maybe next week, and y'all can beat me to death about men. You know.
Oh my goodness. Oh no.
Beat me to a bloody pulp about men and. You know, and I can defend myself now. Don't get it twisted. I can defend myself. All right, 45 seconds.
We'll take it easy on you.
Because I have all the men who listen to the Ron Kelly Show supporting me. They'll have my back. So I ain't worried about y'all grown-ass women.
I enjoyed the show. I definitely enjoyed it. I hope the listeners enjoyed it as well.
I know we kind of clashed a couple times, you know. I don't mean clash intellectually, but. You know, we'll get it together. We'll learn each other, and we'll make this thing happen. And
yes, sir.
Don't be mad for the beat down on grown ass women. All right, thank you, Angel. Angel McLaren. We'll see you back in next week. Everybody else, we'll see you back in next week, next Tuesday, 3 o'clock is the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, be safe out there.
Take care.
Peace.
Why is that ringing? Okay. Yes, I'm sure.